And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the season of Lent, we are taking the stories of Jesus to heart. And while I may not have memorized this one like Connor, nice job, Connor, after walking around in this scripture passage for the last few weeks, I have come to find that in many ways I am as foolish as Nicodemus, and that this story has been born anew to me. This is a challenging scripture passage for many, not just because of the mysterious things that Jesus says, but because the language of being born again, and John 3:16 in particular, staple of highway road signs and football games, have become shorthand for a certain kind of religious fervor. And so for many years now, I've put a box around this particular scripture passage and thought, this one's just not for me. But I am a bit curious, so I peek inside and have a look. Nicodemus was curious too, a Pharisee, a religious authority, a leader among the Judeans, a member of the Sanhedrin. His fellow Pharisees knew about Jesus and were trying to find ways to discredit him and reduce his growing influence, which they saw as a threat to their own power. But Nicodemus was starting to get curious. There was something about Jesus that made Nicodemus ask the big questions. And so he sneaks out in the dead of night and goes to find Jesus. He has to be careful, can't let his Pharisee friends know what he's up to. He's curious enough to approach Jesus directly. However, Nicodemus is not yet ready to go public with his interest in this man. So he goes in the middle of the night, when he can keep his faith secret, separated from the rest of his life. Nicodemus is not yet ready to declare his faith in the light of day, not prepared to let it change his life. Nicodemus approaches Jesus with what he knows about Jesus as a rabbi and all of the signs that he has done. Nicodemus is a learned scholar, so he's all about having clear answers, especially when it comes to religion. For Nicodemus, there is the profane and the sacred, the holy, the sacrilegious, and ne'er the twain shall meet. He believes that the law states clearly what it means to behave and to believe in a righteous way. He comes to Jesus with a statement that is, in fact, a question. Jesus, you're doing these amazing things, but you're also saying some things that challenge deep-held truths I believe in. Can you help me put two and two together? How do we make sense of all this? And Jesus, as usual, doesn't give a straight answer. Jesus starts talking about being born from above or born again. In fact, in Greek, the same word means both. And Nicodemus has no idea what Jesus is talking about. He is flummoxed. He is mired in what this would mean literally, physically, to be born again. How can someone who's grown old return to their mother's womb? It's impossible, Jesus. And he's also struggling with what it would mean socially, because for Nicodemus himself, to be born again would mean a very radical change to his status and honor. But Jesus starts to explain what it means to be spiritually reborn, what it means to have something entirely new happen within you. Now, I've met a fair number of people who have shared with me their story of being born again. Amazing stories about the exact moment when their lives changed forever and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. that always confused me a bit, because I've never had one big moment like that. Instead, I've had a lot of little moments. Moments when things made just a bit more sense. Moments when I felt God's love more fully. But the curiosity and the questions, those have never left. Those questions get me into conversations, into books, and even into church. Slowly, curiosity has opened the way for me to draw more closely to God. Spiritual curiosity has helped me to know God more fully. I think that is how it is for many of us, especially if we're the kind of people who are cautious but curious. And we are part of a religious tradition that teaches us it's not only okay to ask questions, but it's actually a good thing. We don't believe in leaving our brains at the church door. Asking questions is a sign of deep faith. We get curious, and when we do, we sometimes have these encounters with God's grace and love. We grapple, we wrestle, we try to work out just who this Jesus is and what that means for our lives. And the work we do doesn't always go quickly, and it's often messy, and it often doesn't end neatly. In his own surprising way, in that Jesus way that always raises more questions than it answers, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "There are many things that you just won't understand." But that's good. Still, be curious, but stay humble. If you choose to live God's will for your life, if you let God take the wheel, you won't know where the wind will blow you, and you won't always know where you've come from or where you're headed. But that's okay. Nicodemus, if you're so focused on the symbols, on the tangibles, on the visible, on the graspable, you'll never experience the full embodiment of God. The kingdom is here and now. We must be about living in it. It's not about deciding what to believe, whether you have enough evidence. It's about living as if the kingdom of God is already come, in your own actions and the cultivation of love and relationships and beauty and creation. And Nicodemus doesn't know this yet, but Nicodemus himself is in the midst of a second birth. He's having a sort of birth pangs brought on by this curiosity and these questions he can no longer ignore, and he is being changed in his very being. The last time we will see Nicodemus in the gospel is when he helps to bury Jesus. Nicodemus is there at the end for Jesus when all the disciples have abandoned him. I think there's something meaningful about that. In the morning of Jesus' death, Nicodemus was showing that he had, in fact, been born again, born anew. Martin Luther King Jr. once used the story of Nicodemus to talk about being born again. He said that Jesus hadn't given Nicodemus easy instructions of do this and don't do that. Instead, Jesus told Nicodemus, "Your whole structure must be transformed." This was nothing less than a total shakeup. Dr. King was talking specifically about how America had to be born again and deal with injustice. And that's a good example of how we as people and as institutions and communities must also sometimes be born again to do what is right and what is good for the love of God and the love of the world. And I think about us, about our call to be followers of Christ, and about our call to transform not just our own lives, but also our communities and our world. I like this idea that we are continually being born again. anew, again and again. We are living lives of change amidst a world of change, and that means that we are constantly having to go back to Jesus with those big questions that keep us up at night. And we have to keep being born again and again and again in so many ways. In what ways are you being reborn in this season? Maybe you're a little bit stuck, like Nicodemus, trying to ignore signs that something needs to change in your life. Or maybe you are praying desperately for new life, for transformation, taking tentative steps towards sobriety, or building community, or maybe trusting God just a little bit more. Perhaps you are in the throes of labor, finishing a dissertation, moving through a time of grief, owning up to past mistakes, working to make your dreams a reality. What will your Nicodemus moment be? What big questions or possibilities are you grappling with? How might Jesus be calling you to live your faith in the light of day? And how unsettled are you willing to be if it means that you just may be reborn and the world may be the better for it? Amen.